This is the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was the governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom God favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." And so they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. A whole host. Joseph and Mary were poor, and they were in a whole host of trouble. Martin Luther, in his Christmas book, reminds us that despite his royal ancestry, David was so poor that he had been unable to make a living in Judea. And for that reason, he transferred to Nazareth. And now he had to go back. Emperor Caesar Augustus had made a decree, and it didn't matter that David's young wife was expecting a child. He had to go. He didn't have the funds to hire a nurse to be with Mary through her childbirth while he was gone. She had to come too. And you know, maybe Joseph and Mary had a donkey on their days-long trek from Nazareth down to Bethlehem, like the pictures paint. But the Gospels speak of no such wealth. It's just as likely that they went on foot, weary, dusty step after weary, dusty step. No money for inns along the way. Picture it, Mary, Mother of God, sleeping in what shelter Joseph could make or find along the roadway. Mary, who is carrying this promised child, while so many other women in the world lived in luxury and rode about in carriages and sat upon soft pillows and wore fine linens draped about their frames, Mary, Mother of God, trudges through the fields. And when they arrive, now in Bethlehem, finally among David's relatives, with people with whom they need not pay, but they can just share as family, they find that the guest room has no room for them, even though she is with child. And instead of having her baby in her private and familiar home back in Nazareth, she's here after a three-day walk, 9 months pregnant, vulnerable and exposed for everyone to see down with the animals. Now the moneyed folks in Bethlehem lounged in the warmth of the inn, eating, drinking, comfortable, unable to see what God was up to in their midst. Joseph, he did what he could. He cared for her as best as he was able to, in spite of probably not knowing a thing about how to help a woman give birth. Maybe some water, perhaps, cold from the well. How about some strips of cloth to wrap the newborn child? A makeshift bed in a manger, or as Pastor Pear likes to call it, a slop bucket. You might have done it differently had you been there. Maybe you would have aided them in some way that night. Certainly you can picture yourself there and Mary at your doorstep, and maybe you would have gone to fetch some water for them, perhaps warmed it by a fire. Maybe you would have opened your home and provided a room or washed away the afterbirth and the first dirty diapers, if you're willing to get your hands dirty. You might have been happy to be there. Certainly you would have. But you have something that they didn't, those people in Bethlehem that night. You have the faith to see that this is someone important. Ah, but with those same eyes of faith, couldn't you also see Christ in your neighbor now, tonight? So that act of love that you were just about to do, why don't you do that now? Serve your neighbor or your stranger. And remember that what you do to your neighbor is as if you do to Christ himself. But these folks down in Bethlehem, they don't have eyes to see. Not the ones that you have. And that must have made it quite unbearable for these new parents. Poor Mary and Joseph, forgotten, probably starting to doubt, finding it hard to trust in that good news that they had received along this pregnancy way, wondering if it was really real. The Son of God, the Savior, really come in such a way as this? So much trouble. They had a whole host of questions. You know, one of the joys of my job is teaching classes of young folk and getting to talk about religion and sitting with their questions about God and faith. There's a deep sincerity in youth that we often lose touch with as we grow older. A sincerity to be able to ask and to sit with the difficult, hard, but straightforward questions. Questions like, why is the world so troubled? Why is there racism, sexism, homophobia, poverty, homelessness, hunger, injustice, violence, war? What has God done? Why does this still go on? Why are there shootings in the mall? Why are people solving their problems with violence? Why are so many people around the world going to sleep this winter night, wondering and in the dark? There are hard questions. Questions like those Mary and Joseph must have asked themselves that night as they were sitting there in the dark with the animals and a newborn child. The thing about questions and sincerity is that it also opens you up to experience something that you might miss otherwise. And in youth, in that sincerity of youth, we find an ability to connect with God that we can often lose as we grow older. An ability to viscerally have a divine experience. Maybe that's why it was to the youth that the angel skies opened that night. The shepherds out in the field were young. They had the night shift. They were at the bottom of the totem pole. It was to the young that this job went. And to these young shepherds, they looked, and out of the night sky, the heavens opened, and a voice speaks, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." And before the shepherds know what's going on, a whole host of angels has shown up and has filled the skies. A whole host. We don't use that word so often in this way anymore. What does it mean to be a host? We call God at times the Lord of hosts. Our reading from Isaiah said it tonight, "The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." The word host is the word army. This is the Lord of armies. This is the army of the Lord. Heavenly armies that the prophet Elisha saw on horses and chariots of fire. But even though Elisha saw the hills around him full of heavenly armies, enough to strike his enemies blind, that night with the shepherds, there were more angels than that. There was a whole host. Were you to go outside and begin counting every individual snowflake covering the streets and the houses outside our doors, well, you still wouldn't get to a number that would be enough, because there were more angels than that. Were you to number each tiny blade of grass in every green garden around the whole world, you wouldn't have enough, because there were still more angels than that. Were you to take every person on this earth, with a population that has now surpassed 8 billion people, and add to that all the people that ever had lived on top of that number, and then to count every hair on each one of their collective heads, you wouldn't have enough. There were more angels than that. There was a whole host of angels. It was an innumerable multitude. The zeal of the Lord of hosts was such that on this night and for this birth, heaven was overflowing. The joy was so great, the angels couldn't stay put in heaven, but they had to break out and they had to tell someone on earth, and they were singing glory like football players dancing ballet. These heavenly chariot drivers and warriors put on their choir robes and sang. It's as if singing God's praises makes you an active participant in God's zeal. God's fervent devotion, passion, and purpose, this zeal of the Lord of hosts that is accomplishing something tonight. And was it to someone in the temple of Jerusalem who hears this song? Was it the high priest there making sacrifices before God amidst the incense and the candles? Was it the king, Herod, in his palace? Was it even the moneyed people in the inns? There was nobody that could hear this song but these shepherds. This angel song of glory came just for them. Now you might think that with this innumerable army of angels, that some of these angels, some of this host, might have gone to the baby Jesus to take him a golden cradle as a little birthday present this night. Or at least a feather bed, something instead of the slop bucket manger that he was lying in, or at the very least some warm water and a clean diaper. And why didn't they? These angels, they were singing that he is Lord and Savior. Why then didn't they go lend him a hand? Now, that's something hard to understand. Except to say that God doesn't seem to care about the fineries produced and sold by human economies. The angels send nothing to the child but shepherds. Just these shepherds. And the shepherds go. And their simple sincerity, they don't question why it's them that have gotten tasked with this important announcement. They don't ask or wonder about their own worth. They just go. They're open to that experience, that gift. And so they then become the gift to Mary and to the world. Or perhaps not the gift itself, but at least the certificate of authenticity. Because the real gift isn't the miracle of the shepherd's stories or the angels singing or the star shining that's leading the wise folk even as we speak. The real gift is this tiny newborn child, fresh into the world. The real gift is the belief and the trust that here is God incarnate. The real gift is to give yourself over to this God here born and to the will of God, which is and always will be radical love. Luther preaches, what person, if guided by their natural promptings, would do so much for another? Why should God humble himself to lie in the feed box of a donkey and hang upon a cross? This act of love in Christ, who enters into this world in flesh, who comes as one among us, who suffers alongside us, who dies for us. It's this radical love that is afoot. It's this action of God. It's not the action of a conquering army, a whole host coming to subjugate the world with power. No. Instead, it's the act of a liberation of all creation with love. One of my gifts this year was being able to hold a newborn child, my own, my secondborn, my daughter, Josephine. And holding a newborn child, you're overcome by love. You realize you would do anything for this babe. But this here is a connection that goes way beyond anything that can be seen or understood. And tonight, unto you is born a child. A Savior. Mary bears her gift of a child for you. In you. Christ is coming into the world once again. We tell this story this night not to recount to ourselves the history as if frozen in time, like we were recounting the gold in Caesar's storerooms. The point isn't to remind ourselves of the history, but to receive this incredible gift once more. Unto you, Christ is born. Amen.